Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network, a station dedicated to the concept that all manifestations of the divine are equally valid. Join Reverend Terry Power HP, Lord Onyx, and all the hosts 7 nights a week for programming covering a wide range of spiritual topics right here on Blog Talk Radio. Under a Shady Tree with Lord Terry and Lord Onyx. Come on in, grab a glass of sweet iced tea and sit right down. These Southern Pagan boys are about to start their talk. Here's Lord Terry and Lord Onyx.
And good evening, everybody. This is Reverend Terry Power, and you are under a shady tree with Terry and Robin. My lady, how are you tonight?
I'm very well. How are you doing this evening over there in freezing cold Detroit?
Well, it is not making any white stuff fall out of the sky tonight, which is good.
Well, that's a good thing.
Yeah, I mean, this time last night I was sitting here looking out the window at gigantic snowflakes.
Mm-hmm.
And then it changed over to kind of a mix, and ultimately it changed over all the way to rain and washed away all the silliness. But a couple of the guys coming in this morning, a couple of guys in the class were telling me, one in particular, he spun out this morning. He ended up doing a donut on a black ice coming in this morning. So, yeah, so while my drive was pretty uneventful, his was less uneventful. But nonetheless, it's all well. It's not as bitter tonight as it has been. And I will be home soon. So I'm just looking forward to getting on a plane Saturday morning.
Yeah.
And heading toward the house. Yeah. So what's going on over there?
Not much. Not much. The weather is cold. It's so cold out today. The chickens didn't even want to come out of their house. I opened the door for them, and they just looked at me like, "Are you crazy?"
And you're not ready for the freezer case yet.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So letting them range is just about done for the season, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Until we build the habit trail in the spring.
Right.
Yeah, I saw the stuff you put on the internet about the little chicken habit trails.
Mm-hmm.
That does look cute, so. I can't think of anything else to call it. That's what I saw when I looked at it. I saw these chicken wire tunnels, and I just thought of a habit trail. You know, the old gerbil habit trail.
Mm-hmm. Yep, exactly.
All righty then. So we have some questions tonight from listeners, and students of tradition members and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So, where did we want to start? You are the keeper of the questions and the knower of all things over there. So.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Let's see. Well, I have sort of a two-part question. It says here, how do I pull, it says here, I hear an awful lot about a universal pool of energy. How do I access it, and how do I pull energy from it? And then the other part of this question is, then, how do I not use my own energy? Her actual question is, how does one not pull energy from oneself? So,
well, it sounds like the same question, so you may answer anyway.
Well, yeah, kind of, yeah. They kind of go hand in hand. So I wanted to cover both of those.
When you got the second one. Yeah.
Pretty much. That's
okay.
Why I wanted to cover them both at the same time. So shoot, go ahead.
Well, you know, it occurs to me that there's actually, to my way of thinking, and you and I may or may not disagree on this, but there are two pools of energy. In my working, I have found that it depends on what I'm doing, but sometimes I will pull through my feet and will pull in earth energy, which tends to be cooler, healing, that sort of thing. And to me, I've never drawn on my own energy. I was taught so early on to pull energy from the earth or from the sky, that I've always channeled. I mean, that's the word I use. I mean, other people use different words, but I become a conduit for the energy. And I pull in what I need and then just focus it and send it out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some people drawing on earth energy will bring it in through the root chakra. I tend to bring it in through my feet because I have physical contact with the earth.
Mm-hmm.
And I just visualize opening myself, and I breathe out. Yeah, it's one of those things people don't ask me about very much. I just kind of do. So answering a question about what do I do, how do I do it, how does someone else do it? For me, drawing on the earth energy is almost like just opening myself to it and then breathing it in.
Mm-hmm.
It's the sensation for me, and this is, I can only speak for myself, it is a sensation of inhaling and drawing it in. And then exhaling it and sending it out through my hands to do its job. And I can't think of a better way to describe it, but the feelings that I have. Now, with the solar energy, where I open my crown chakra, that energy is warmer, more aggressive. It doesn't have to be pulled in. I open my crown chakra, and it just comes on in. There's no impetus needed other than to make myself available as a channel for it. And that energy flows more steadily. And aggressive, I don't necessarily mean as a bad thing. It's more, it's a more constant, in my experience, a more constant flow. Whereas the earth energy you have to draw in, I have to draw in, let me say.
Mm-hmm.
I have to draw in and then send it out. The solar energy, when I'm using that energy, the light of the universe, so the same thing we do in our openings to our rituals. where we fill ourselves with the light of the universe, the energy of the universe.
Mm-hmm.
That just seems to flow
right.
much more than, and I just open myself to it and let it happen. So that's my personal experience with it. I look forward to hearing your thoughts on this as well.
Well, when I am planning on doing a working where I'm raising energy, whether I'm in a group or not, it doesn't really matter, I too tend to draw energy either up through my feet or sometimes, depending on where I am, I'll draw it in through my crown chakra. And it depends on what I'm doing it for. Oftentimes, if I'm doing a physical healing with someone, it's going to be similar to Reiki, where I'm going to open my crown chakra and the energy is going to come into my body that way. But it's coming into my body from, yes, this, what did she use in the question? Universal pool. It's not really a pool either, it's chi. And chi is the energy of life, and it is all around us. And everything has a signature of chi. And we, each of us, store our own energy or chi inside our bodies, which you can bring new energy in from exterior, down from the universe or from around us, into your body to sort of replenish, if you will, and mingle with your own energy. But you don't want to expel your own energy. You always want to maintain that swirling energy ball, if you will, at your solar plexus. So that's, you can, while you can feed that, you don't ever want to let it diminish. You want to sort of, it's kind of like you want to keep it at a constant level as a minimum, because that's your energy. And
okay, so I had this image in my brain as you were saying this. It's like putting a glass of water in the sink and turning on the faucet, and you never want to let that glass get empty, but all the stuff that's overflowing is available for you.
Yes.
Okay. So you're working with the overflow. You allow it to come in and then replenish yourself and then let the rest of it be used.
Right.
Okay.
Yep.
And that makes sense.
Yep. Now, also related to this, you know, people often want to know, well, you know, how do I do this without it, you know, sapping my own personal energy? And that is pretty much what you were saying, is you're sort of taking it and letting your cup run over so that you're always maintaining a full cup. But if you're going to be in circle with a bunch of people and you are afraid of, you know, I hear this a lot, oh, I'm so afraid because I don't know everybody in circle and I don't know what their energy is like and, you know, what's going to happen if I take somebody else's energy into my body and it's not good energy. And I think I've discussed this before on the show. You shouldn't be taking anybody else's energy inside your body in a situation like that. You should be letting it run over your skin and go around the circle. From palm to palm, basically. You let it run across your chest and down the other hand and out the other palm. And if anybody has any questions about that or doesn't understand exactly what I mean when I say that you let the energy crawl over your skin, then write to the station and I'll send you a more detailed explanation.
Or you can call in tonight.
You could. You could indeed call in.
You could call in and join this conversation because we are always open to taking calls. That number is 646-564-9714. Again, that is 646-564-9714. And after the computer talks to you for a few minutes and you start hearing the show, then you can hit the 1 button and it will put up a flag in the switchboard to tell us that you want to talk.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, we'll see you and then presume that you are away from your computer and calling in to listen, and that's perfectly cool, too.
Yep.
So, no, I kind of like the combination of the two when we start talking. I've never really felt drained after doing work because I don't use my energy. Like you
yeah.
said, I act as a conduit. And so you've got a comment in the chat room. Glacius is saying, and he's actually stating his understanding and then asking if this is accurate. So, so he says, you act as a conduit for the energy in circle, allowing it to run over like a wire in a conduit without touching it with your own internal core.
Yeah, pretty much that's correct. You don't take it in internally. The energy remains external on the outside of your body. And you can still add to it through your palms as it leaves you. If you follow me.
Yes, I do. And you know, I've been able to successfully let it just kind of pass without
mm-hmm.
taking it in, but I don't ever have the sensation of going across me.
Mm-hmm.
But a hand-to-hand path doesn't seem to affect me. At least I just don't let it, I guess.
Yeah.
If I don't think it can, then it probably won't.
Right. But there are a lot of people who are new to Circle who worry about this. You'd be amazed what a huge issue this is for some people when they. I know people to this day who will not stand in public circles because they don't know everybody's in circle and they don't know their energy.
I'm of the opinion that if it bothers you, then it's going to bother you.
Mm-hmm.
And if it doesn't bother you, it's probably not going to affect you.
Yeah.
I was told one time that I have a kind of natural immunity to other people's negative energy because I was told that I have, and I quote, a healthy sense of irreverence.
and,
you know, I just don't really think that it's important enough to allow it to bother me,
mm-hmm.
and therefore it doesn't. It's all a matter of what we believe. And if we believe that it will affect us, then it will.
Mm-hmm.
And if we believe it won't, then it won't. And that's really, you know, but you're talking to people that believe that it will, so we've got to help them find ways to mitigate their concerns and letting it flow across the body, across the skin. You know,
mm-hmm.
I've heard you talk about that before.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I like that description. I mean, just let it follow the circuits on the surface of the skin, like electricity dancing across the sweat on your skin and going
mm-hmm.
on and without going through.
Exactly.
That's kind of a cool idea.
Mhm.
You know, I do love the way you describe things sometimes.
Well, I have to give credit where credit is due. Some of that comes from my teacher, Jackie. So some of it doesn't. Some of it's me, but some of it does come from her.
Coolness.
Yep.
Well, I guess I could also give credit that he told me I have this healthy sense of irreverence and the natural immunity to
mm-hmm.
certain things. That was actually Don Lewis.
Ah.
It just really came in. What he was saying was what I just said, is it, if you don't
mm-hmm.
think it's going to work or bother you, then it's not.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what we believe becomes reality to a certain degree. We create our own reality. So, Let's see. So, you know, when we do channel that energy and become a conduit, a vessel,
mm-hmm.
allowing it to flow into us and then overflow our cup so that we use the overflow.
Mm-hmm.
You know, by doing that, we don't draw on our own energy.
Right.
Which really goes to the second part of the question, is that we just don't go to that cup. That cup is for our internal use. It's to keep
mm-hmm.
us running, you know, running along happily and healthily. And, you know, sometimes doing work that kind of, for lack of a better word, flushes out the old
mm-hmm.
and replenish it and let it overflow and kind of go out into the universe to be used.
Right.
Kind of recycles things a little bit and stirs things up in a positive way.
Well, energy is always moving inside our bodies. And if it's not, that's when you get, you know, the TCM, traditional Chinese medicine, believes that when you have a blockage of energy in your body, that's when you get an illness or when you have a problem or when you have joints that hurt or when you get cancer or whatever it is, it's what causes illness, which is why they feel that acupuncture is so important, because acupuncture stimulates the area where the blockage is and releases it so that energy can
okay,
flow.
Okay, and we work with all the little minor chakras in doing that.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Although chakra is more of an Indian rather than Chinese concept.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There is kind of a traditional Chinese medicine equivalent.
Mm-hmm. We have way more chakras in our body than just the ones that run down our spine. You know, we've all got chakras in our palms and. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to agree with you. That, you know, we work
mm-hmm.
with the seven, but I know people that work with, you know, over 100.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, some people believe that there are, and I've talked to people that talk about having, like, multiple layers within even those seven. That those seven exist across past, present, and future.
Mm-hmm.
And they're kind of like side bands on a, you know, on a CD channel, CD when we used to have work on the side bands.
Mm-hmm.
But they kind of operate like that, and, you know, there's multiple layers to each of the seven, much less all of the others. So, I mean, the study of the chakras is a whole study unto itself.
Yes.
I do like some of the stuff I've been reading recently, associating musical notes, the seven notes of a scale to the seven chakras.
Mm-hmm.
And looking at using those tones as a way of helping to balance the chakras.
Mm-hmm.
And seeing that used as a healing modality.
Right.
I just use a pendulum and little squares of colored felt
mm-hmm.
and kind of do a self-balancing that way, which has served me fairly well. So I think you've seen me do that with the pendulum, the crystal pendulum and the little colored pieces of felt and let nature take its course. The pendulum just becomes kind of a focus for doing the work. You end up doing the work internally yourself.
Right.
But the pendulum becomes kind of a focus for your subconscious to kind of take you out of every day and give you something, a key, to help you shift and do the work yourself. Would you agree with that description?
Yeah, pretty much. Sorry, I'm not real talkative.
Yeah.
Sorry about that.
No,
yeah,
it's okay. Long pause. It's okay. Awkward
when,
silence. It's fine.
When doing healings, it's really hard for me to equate that to other energy work. Because for me, healings come from the energy just comes into my body from above, and it's just there, and it's never about exerting myself. It's always just about letting the energy flow through my body to the person, and while it's flowing through me, I'm essentially doing the working of programming that energy to do what I'm asking it to do. And I usually feel pretty good after a healing, unless it's for somebody that I know really well, and then it can be a very emotional. And, you know, you get a little more stressed because you really want to heal this person because it's your kid or it's your best friend or it's, you know, that you have some emotional investment in this person more so than you would if it were somebody who called you up and said, hey, can you come on over and I'll, you know, need a healing. So, I mean, it's always somewhat emotional, but certainly it's going to be more emotionally charged for you if it's someone you know really well and that you care about a lot.
You know, I'm always physically charged up after just about any kind of work.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, I may have the emotion,
mm-hmm.
but physically I'm usually quite energetic, quite full of, I often have to ground
mm-hmm.
after I do a big working. I don't feel drained at all. I'm on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
It's like I got to get rid of some of this extra because I'm, you know, I'll float away.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I tend toward that direction rather than being drained. I'm full and have to release some of it. So holding on is just as bad as not having enough. As using your own, you'll feel just as drained. Well, holding too much isn't good for you either.
Right.
And grounding out after a working, if you're really charged up,
mm-hmm.
Grounding out any of the excess.
Yeah.
Will keep
you
from getting clogged
up. You want to maintain
a
balance. Yeah. Yep.
And, you know, one of my favorites is just the tree, you know, the roots growing into the ground kind of grounding.
Yep.
Sometimes I'll use. Yeah. Sometimes I will, and I found myself doing it without even thinking anymore. But I kind of do psychic hygiene when I do my physical hygiene. So when I'm in the shower, I'm also visualizing all of the, you know, extra and all of the just gunk from inside.
Mm-hmm.
I push it out and wash it off the skin.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a very effective method that I've developed, or not developed so much, for myself I've started using it. And it has developed into a kind of a personal automatic ritual. You know, we talk all the time about rituals in life. You know, you get up in the morning and you take care of your business, you take care of your hygiene, you get in the shower. In all of that, I'm just always doing that kind of grounding of excess and cleanse. It's kind of an internal cleansing, you know, magical psychic hygiene at the same time I do my shower.
Mm-hmm.
And I find that very effective because I'm just visualizing it all washing down the drain and going back to the goddess where it can be converted and reused. Kind of the ultimate recycling of energy.
Mm-hmm.
So we are at the bottom of the hour, and I'm going to play one of my favorite songs. We haven't heard it in a while. I I'm going to indulge myself. And it's probably not what you're thinking. I bet you're thinking it's going to be something by Murphy's Midnight Rounders. But no. I'm going to play Antlered Crown and Standing Stone by Darv the Bard.
Mm-hmm.
And periodically that song will get stuck in my head, so I'm going to listen to it tonight and indulge myself. So everybody stick around. Say again.
I said, you go for it.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you, ma'am. Mm-hmm. Everybody stick around. We'll be back in just a few minutes. Here we got Darv the Bard, Antlered Crown, and Standing Stone.
I'm the voice within the tree. I am boy, I am man, the face of the changing man. And I have been your constant guide from your caves on the mountainside. We have walked hand in hand, and everywhere that the birds sing to the dawn, and the land has awoken, and oh my lady lays with me, and our love weaves a tapestry, eternal thread unbroken. I am lover, I am father, I am in all of nature that is reborn every spring. Call of stag and cry of eagle, I am child of barleycorn, and I am the antlered crown and standing stone. Life in all of me.
There is one power in the universe, and we are perfect manifestations of that power.
And as such, we pray. We pray for peace. We pray for love. We pray for stability. We pray for the nation in which we live. We pray for the world.
We will it. We manifest it. We draw it to us. We receive it. We accept it. And we give thanks for it. And by our will, so mote it be.
Listening to Terry and Onyx on the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. We're glad you're here. And now, back to the show.
We'll move you to Virginia. I love our rejoin music on Thursday night. Welcome back, everybody. This is Reverend Terry Collar, and you are under a shady tree with Terry and Robin. And Robin, are you back with us? Did you make it back from the break?
Yes, I'm here.
All right. So before the break, we were talking about the universal pool of energy, and we were talking about the earth energy and the solar energy and being a channel. Not using our own, but replenishing our own and kind of using the overflow for the working we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And we have asked for callers. Well, we have a caller in the queue right now. We've got Glacius Frost has called in. And Glacius, how are you doing tonight, man?
I'm doing great. How are y'all?
Good.
Doing well. So, did you have a question or just want to jump in with a comment, or what would you have for us?
I was actually thinking about that universal energy. I know if you look at it a certain way, it can be a pool, but it's more like you're drawing energy from everywhere, considering everything is made of energy.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, and even Robin said that. It's all around us. I think of it like, the first time I saw Star Wars, and yes, I'm a geek, I was in the theater for the first Star Wars. And I'm sitting there in the theater, and I'm watching
Honey,
this movie and saying,
it doesn't really
what?
Make you a geek. It doesn't make you a geek. It just makes you old.
Well, there's that
I was
too.
There too, by the way, but not with you, but I was there too.
An old geek. But, I was sitting there, and they were talking about the force. And I was like, somebody gets it. That's it. Somebody gets it. Somebody made a movie, because that's kind of the way I think of chi, as, using the term that Robin likes to use. She's into the Asian stuff a lot more deeply than I am. It's like the force. It's all around us. Everything it surrounds and binds us. I mean, I sound like Yoda, but I agree with you, Glacius. It is just kind of everywhere, and you just let it flow into it. I typically use the opening of the crown chakra as a key for myself to allow that flow.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Visualization is one of the best keys that you got, especially if you don't have very many tools to focus on.
Well, yeah, you don't need all the tools to focus on anyway. That's another whole topic. The only tools I really need are my mind.
New topic, budget Wicca.
Budget Wicca, that's it. Sit on the plush bench and do ritual without moving. That's budget Wicca right there.
Mm-hmm.
But, so thanks for calling in. I agree with you completely. The energy is, not a pool like, you know, like an ocean of energy. It's just there. It's just there, and you just open yourself up to it and let it flow. But I very much like the idea, as Robin described it, of replenishing our own energy and then letting it overflow, and then that's what we use for our working. And that way we never deplete our own inner energy that keeps us, keeps our insides working right. And all of the energy flows through our bodies,
mm-hmm.
Working correctly by keeping that balance. So what else did you have for us tonight, partner?
Oh, no, that was pretty much it. I just wanted to call in and check on you guys and maybe sit in on whatever the next question might be.
Okay.
Well, you can do that. Just hang out under the tree with us.
So,
Robin, what was the next question?
Hang on, let me get back to that screen. When is a good time to start working with multiple deities?
As opposed to working with just one?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
This is the whole mixing of pantheons conversation too in here. So you.
That's where you and I actually do differ.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if my fondness for working with one pantheon may just be based in the idea that I find what I need in one pantheon,
mm-hmm.
and that's my personal choice.
Mm-hmm.
I work with the True Heart of Diamond, and I'm perfectly content. There's nothing that I can do or work that I cannot find. A story or a deity in the old Irish gods and goddesses,
mm-hmm.
to call upon to work with.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't have any need to mix pantheons. Some people love to mix pantheons, you being among them.
Yeah, I do.
But I think the question goes deeper than that. Or maybe it's not as deep as that. I'm not quite sure how I want to word that. But it seems to me that the question is more about, okay, I've started working with a deity form. When should I start working with multiples?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's something that you will know when it happens. Yeah, I know people hate asking me questions because, what's the right thing? And they'll say, what's the right thing for you? What feels right to you? Because that is the answer to the question, I'm not here to tell anyone how to, how's the right way to do it. It's not my job.
Yeah.
So what are your thoughts on it?
In my experience, if you are, say, taking a shower and all of a sudden a deity presents itself to you that you had not perhaps previously worked with or even known of its existence, probably not a good time to look at them and go, oh, I'm sorry, I'm not allowed to mix pantheons. you probably should just pay attention and then do some research, because usually there's a reason why a particular deity may show themselves to you, and frequently you will know when it's time to work with more than one deity, and that will be what happens. At least that's what has happened for me and for many people I know. You'll be doing something completely innocuous, and a deity will physically present itself to you, like, here I am, tap me on the shoulder while you're driving. Can you see me in the rearview mirror? Or people will start dreaming about a particular deity, or however that deity is going to present itself to you.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we all know that, you know, anybody that's been listening for any period of time has heard me talk about the walking back over from Jackie.
Mm-hmm.
And the energy coming down the mountain and mm-hmm. kind of giving me my wake-up call.
Mm-hmm.
But that horned god energy still fits within my Celtic concept.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't feel like I'm mixing pantheons. First, it was a more archetypal energy rather than a particular deity form.
Mm-hmm.
But there's, you know, Herning and Kernanus, which is plenty enough horned god stuff, stag king kind of god to work with, that fits perfectly well within my own concept, my own Celtic concepts of deity and the pantheons that I work with,
Mm-hmm.
So, Glacius, what's been your experience with such things?
I'm a bit of a mix and matcher myself. I do have... My patron is Loki, let's just start with that one. So I draw from the Norse pantheon, but I also have a separate archetypal goddess that I work with. It doesn't really belong to a pantheon, so I fall on both sides of that line. But in my experience, you find them as you need.
Mm-hmm. Or trying they find
to,
you.
Yeah, and if you try to rush it, you'll usually have less than stellar results.
Hmm. Yeah, every time I've needed something, I have felt a pull toward a member of the Too High to Die, and you know, that's, I don't know. For me, that's just what's been happening. Do I find, you know, I find it odd when people mix and match, but that's just because of my personal experience. Is it right or wrong? No. You know, I don't consider it right or wrong. I do, and Robin and I have discussed this, I do think sometimes that personalities might have issues. You know, like calling on a Norse god and then a healing god from another pantheon. The Norse don't have a whole lot of need for healer gods. And so the personality differences I don't know if the personality conflict is exactly what I'm trying to express, but I can see how they might not cooperate as well as if we picked complementary gods and goddesses to work with, particularly in a ritual. My personal take on it, but...
So, basically, a clashing of archetypal energies is what you're thinking about?
Well, I'm actually thinking of the personalities as expressed in the story, and our understanding of the stories and our understanding of that deity until we work with it more closely, we've pretty much got the stories to work with. And sometimes the personalities as we understand them aren't necessarily going to play well.
Sure, you go
in my opinion.
There.
That's my opinion.
Well,
you know, other people
yeah.
think I'm full of shit. So, I mean, it's, you know, it's fine.
I have never had deities in circle that did not work well in concert with each other. Kind of like adults who may, let's say, at work not get along, but they are going to the Christmas party and they will be there. And so, you know, it's not the appropriate time to be snarky with each other. So they just, you know, acknowledge each other and get along for that little bit of time, and they don't necessarily have to interact in any great way. They just have to be there and be pleasant. And
okay.
Believe me when I tell you that there have been times here at the mountain where we've had 20 different gods and goddesses from many different pantheons, all in circle together for a working. So, and if you think about it, any public ritual that you go to, the people who are standing in that public ritual are going to have their own gods and goddesses that they call to them during that ritual. Because generally, when you go to these big public rituals, they call the generic god and goddess. And so each person that has, let's say, a specific god or goddess in mind, when they call that in ritual, that's the god and goddess that's going to come to them. So these gods and goddesses have lots of experience with having to get along, crossing pantheons. And I think that the concept that they don't get along, although it is borne out in some of the myths and legends, we have to keep in mind that, you know, most of the time, us humans wrote those myths and legends. And so we interpreted them in a way in which we can understand them.
And I did specify that, particularly something, you know, a deity form we have not worked with and developed a relationship with.
Mm-hmm.
So I know people that will call the god and the goddess, and they will call from different pantheons, and sometimes I've listened to these people and I'm going, what made you call those two, being so radically different? It seemed to me sometimes that I've been to rituals where people called a god and a goddess that were so dissimilar that it astonished me that they would call them in the same place.
Hmm. Well, I don't know.
I have a theory about that one, actually.
Okay, let's hear it.
Sometimes you might need wildly disparate energies in order to bring about a specific result.
Agreed.
It says the acolyte of Loki.
Now, don't be picking on him now.
But let me go back to what when you were talking about how you've had 20 or more, when calling upon them, they're coming to help do work, as you basically said about going to like an office party.
Mm-hmm.
There is an expectation there, I think, of professionalism between the different pantheons and the different worshippers, where regardless of how well the pantheons may or may not get along in theory,
mm-hmm.
they're there for a job, they're going to do that job, regardless of their feelings back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
Is that more or less what you were talking about?
Sort of, yeah. Also, you know, we've had interactions, you know, over the years. For example, my patron, one of my patron goddesses is Demeter. A good friend of mine who is a coven mate, her god that she worked with frequently was Hades. Here are two gods inside the same pantheon that don't particularly get along.
Yeah, have not been known well. Not been known to play well together.
Mm-hmm. You know, Demeter blames Hades for absconding with her daughter Persephone. So, but people think nothing of calling them, you know, to the same ritual because it is the same pantheon. So this is part of why I think that this whole thing about, oh, you know, crossing pantheons, the gods might not get along, I just don't give it much credence. Because I've been in lots of times with Hades and Demeter, and it's gone fine.
But see, I would give credence to those stories and wouldn't do that. You know, I particularly wouldn't call one as the god and one as the goddess if I was doing the callings of god and goddess for a ritual. Because that story would occur to me, and I would think, probably, maybe some other choices that might my play well better.
I don't know.
So, anyway, we've got Miz is in the queue, so let me bring her into the conversation.
Okay.
She's even been sending me private messages. I've got my 2 cents, so...
I've been over here chomping at the bit.
And I've been waiting to get a word in so I could tell you. Yeah, he is.
Go ahead. Terry, this Pantheon stuff, you don't know our teacher that well, do you?
Oh, and I have had the conversation.
She will tell you. And she will tell you whomever, ever, ever that you connect with and you communicate with and you work with, doesn't matter what color shirt she's wearing. I have real issues with Pantheons. No.
Like I said, I'm talking about my personal experience. And
okay.
I'm not telling anyone
but
they're
then you're
wrong.
Also,
I'm
no,
talking
and
about
I understand
my
that. I understand
and
it and I'm validated. Listen to me.
We've had the conversation. You know, Jackie and I have had this conversation.
Uh-huh. But I had it every weekend for how many years?
What?
But it doesn't matter what Pantheon truly is because individuals work with other deities for whatever reason. It doesn't mean that they have to be in the same group. And I don't even tell my own Kevin members that, okay, you have to stay with the Greeks or you have to stay with the Italians. You got to stay with the Mediterraneans. I don't tell them that. And the reason being is because we're all individuals. And I don't
tell anybody they have to do anything.
No. But you were saying, the comment you were saying, and like Robin said, we've had 20 plus on that back patio, and it was crowded, and everybody respected everybody. Believe me, I was there. But it's the point of individuals have different emotional attachment to that deity for whatever reason. And that's the one that they're working with. And it doesn't matter if Hecate can't work with Thor or whomever. It's that person being able to connect with that deity. They don't care what color shirt they're wearing.
Mind if I interject something real quick?
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
I think it comes more down to perception than anything else. Like in the second degree book where Reverend Don is talking about the tarot cards, they'll act as you expect them to. I think it comes down to that with the gods more or less as well. If you expect them to fight, they'll fight because it's just the way you perceived it for so long. And they follow that perception.
Oh, I think that with random deity forms that we're not familiar with, I think there is going to be that level of expectation. And I did specify fairly early in this conversation that once you develop a relationship, you may start based on the story, but once you develop that personal relationship, you're going to see that more from the story. And I did say early about those that we have not worked with and have a personal relationship.
Understandable.
What I was talking, and still what I talk about more here, I'm not talking about all of our patrons and matrons that join us and follow us into ritual. I'm talking about, and I kept coming back to this because I believe that there is a greater expectation of interaction when you call the god and you call the goddess. Now, what's accompanying each and every one of us, as Liv and Robin have spoken about, I'm not talking about that sort of interaction or that sort of thing.
More about the specific invocation.
Say again? Yeah,
more
the
about
specific
invocation.
Right. And those are the times, and I even, in my comments, I said, you know, calling Hades as the god and Demeter as the goddess, and in the invocation, seems like a less ideal thing to do.
Depends on what you're trying to achieve.
I understand, but if you and again, I see a lot of people that just read, okay, this is the god of such and such, this is the goddess of such and such, and I'm just going to call them. And they just pick them because that's the god of this or the goddess of that. And if there's no relationship, then there's no real understanding of their interaction with one another, and that leaves it kind of open to chance in ways that I personally wouldn't do.
That would be you. The way I was explained to many years ago, and I kind of pass that down to my girls or my group, once you develop a relationship with that deity and you do that relationship research, whether it's same pantheon or same general relationship between them, you can decide if that's the right one that you need to call or if that's the right one for that particular situation. But if you're just invoking for circle purposes and maybe just energy raising, it really doesn't matter what color shirt they're wearing. That's how I was taught, shirts. You know, the red team, the blue team, you know, so to speak.
Yeah, well, see, I actually see it in the opposite direction. If I'm invoking them, if I'm working with them and developing a relationship, then there's going to be a relationship. But randomly choosing the god of, the god of this and the goddess of that, without any understanding of who they are.
Well, I would never recommend that. We don't do that. I don't just choose a god or a goddess because I think their name sounds pretty. You know, you have to have a relationship with that god or goddess before you ever do a working with them.
Yeah, you got a point. If you go in completely blind, there are always a chance that it'll blow up in your face.
Sort of ramification.
And none of us have ever been to a ritual where people did that.
Not to my.
I have.
No.
I'm aware of. Let's put it that way.
In my experience, I've seen people just, and I asked them, "Well, why did you choose those two?" Well, that was, it, you know, the book said that this was the god and such, and the god, and I'm like, oh no.
I think a lot of it is the people don't conform to that book. You see what I'm saying? So they're going to call people that they're comfortable with or call upon a god that they're comfortable with and they do have a relationship with. If you're sending out this message to your deity that you need strength or that you need additional guidance and you invoke them into a circle, regardless if it's public or private, it shouldn't matter truly if they're the same pantheon or not.
Yeah, but Terry has a point. If it's one that you have no previous relationship with whatsoever and you just pick their name at random out of a book with a, like, throwing a dart at it or something, I can see that being bad.
I agree. You have to develop a relationship with any deity that you're working with.
And
I know Nib well enough to know that she agrees with that.
And so now we return to what I said at the very beginning of this, that if you have not developed a relationship, which is where I said from the beginning. Because
but they don't have to be on the same team.
As long as you develop a personal relationship with them, they're on your team.
Right. They're on my team. They're not on two different
team
sides of, you know. It should not matter if you, you know. Oh, Terry, you're maddening. You're making me scratch my head and want to scream, but I can't. The house is quiet.
But if you leave
but
this conversation going, but then I did my job.
No. No, I'm just saying, okay, for instance, I'm working with my own personal matron, which is a star tech. And I am working with my own patron. Yes, they have a connection, but I had to do a lot of research to find out whether they did or not. And I finally just asked them, because there's no written anything about these two deities, nothing about having a relationship. But that's wrong. They did have a relationship. They did have a go-between. But that's only because I did the research.
You're making my point.
I did the work.
I'm not. I don't know what you're arguing with. You just made my point.
Whatever. I'm going to choke you one of these days. I love you, Terry, but you piss me off.
Let me see, darling.
I have a feeling, Niv, it won't be the first nor the last time.
Probably not. As I take the computer and bash him in the forehead. Listen to me. Yeah, I know. There's your visual. But no, I think now what my girls are doing right now, they're all working on, they already have some idea who their matron is. So then they are doing some research and they're asking questions to their intuitive voices to see if there's a patron in there. I have one that has acknowledged that there is one that she is starting to get communications from, but doesn't know where he comes from. I said, well, ask him his name, you know, usually that helps.
Yeah.
But at this point, he's not really being very forthcoming. So she does not know for sure if this quote-unquote warrior deity that's been brought forth is going to be working with her matron deity. I mean, how would she know that? She doesn't. And
yeah,
I don't give them those preconceived warrior fights between deities. But granted, they all fight just like humans did at some point. They disagree. They agree to disagree. But there's no way. I don't think at this point they're going to have battles like Glacius says. If you have that preconception, they will or they won't.
Well, if
yeah.
you're working with both of them and have a relationship with them,
mm-hmm.
well, then you will have an idea of how they interact.
Not necessarily. Not
sure
necessarily.
You will, because they're already asking. They're already asking questions about how are they interacting.
Not if they're just first now finding them. No, they're not. They don't even have their name, Terry. How in the heck are they going to know if they work together or not? You see what I'm saying? You know, Hecate could be out there in Roman, and then she could have a warrior that's from the Mediterranean Sea in Greece. She doesn't know if they work together or not. So if she's asking the questions,
that's going to be part of the developing the relationship. Yes, exactly.
Okay. I'm right again.
If you develop a relationship, I believe that out of their mutual interest in making your life better and easier, they would put aside any differences and work together for you, like we were talking about earlier. They're on your team, not on their Pantheon's team at that point.
Right. Right.
And it goes
but
back to what
again,
I said about developing
part,
a relationship.
Yep.
I'm just saying it goes back to what I said at the very beginning about developing a relationship. So
Yeah, that kind of goes without
saying. That's the hard part, though, even for these beginners. They are trying to do the relationship. They are trying, you know, they see color. They hear voices. They, you know, they know they're there. They just can't get that major communication going like maybe that they have with the matron. So until then, it's a lot of cat and mouse games. Been there, done that, and like I posted in on the chat room, I've been run out of the shower by a patron, and it scared the bejeebers out of me. So, and I didn't know his name. So it can happen that they could be from two different. They can be from different centuries. Completely different centuries. Granted, they lived 400 years old, but, you know, they could be from two complete ends of the spectrum, and how do they know that they're not from the future, so to speak? You don't know. You don't know. So, I look at it this way. If Aunt Martha's busy, and Aunt Jane is convenient, that's who I'm going to use, and I don't care what side of the team they're on. You know, I mean, it sounds awful that way, but I feel like the deities are get busy, too. They are working on healings and trying to prevent wars and trying to give people some common sense. They're doing a multitude of things that we aren't capable of even comprehending. So if my deity is somewhat distracted, I'm going to use the next one that comes to me, regardless of who they are. They'll get the message back to her. But I'm going to put that out there if it's not directly to my, quote-unquote, matron, then the next one's going to, whoever answers is going to get the question. And I don't care what red shirt or blue shirt team they're working on. I could care less.
Well, whoever answers is the one that's supposed to be there anyway.
Say that again?
Whoever answers is the one that's supposed to be there anyway.
Not necessarily.
Then why would they answer?
Well, maybe they're taking messages. You know, you don't know. Maybe they're just, you know, taking messages. Hey, we'll deliver to this, you know. When we know they're not so busy, we'll drop your line. You know, we just don't know. I mean, that's such a high concept. There's just, you just don't know. Go ahead and laugh at me, Robin. You know, I'm about as crackers as the next one. But thanks anyways for letting me drop it out, my two cents.
Well, I'm glad that you came in and expressed your support for my concept that we need to work on relationships and that everything else will take care of itself.
Love you too, Terry.
Oh my goodness.
Okay, throw me out.
I was attempting at the very beginning of this to make a specific point about. What I was trying to express was that I know I have been in situations where people are kind of randomly calling on the gods and goddesses without any concept of who they are and without developing a relationship and mixing them up in a ritual without any kind of concept of who this personality is. And without developing a relationship, I feel like that is a less than ideal situation.
Well, sure, I would agree with that.
And that was really the essence of my point earlier. And everybody has agreed with me, which is nice. But from my personal experience, I have found what I needed in one place. And so, you know, that is my personal experience. I know that other people have different experiences, and I express that if that's working for someone else, that's kind of cool too. It's just not what works for me personally. And
then I went to talking about
you know, the people that randomly choose, and just, you know, this is the god of that, and this is the goddess of this, and I'm going to call them because that's what I want, but they don't have any concept of who or what they're dealing with. I think that that's a less than ideal situation, and the energies may not interact as well as one would hope without having some relationship to work from. So that's my idea about mixing, is when I think of mixing pantheons, I think of these people that just kind of, and I've been to more than one ritual where someone was just calling a name because it was, you know, chosen, I wouldn't say completely at random, but, you know, the whole I read a book concept.
We're not talking about them. Mm-mm.
Well, I was. That's my point. I was talking about
them. I get you. I get you. I'm
so
getting some messages here on my phone, so I have to see, because they're listening to the show. So hang on a second. If deity is busy, and they might be the one that just shows up, or some minion of their aspect. So, see?
Okay.
It's not just me. It's just not me. Because not everyone it has that communication relationship with the big deity. You know, and the way some of my girls have even said that they kind of start with these quote-unquote lower gods they're more comfortable with until they build up this relationship as it continues. It may be that way, but they're going to work with this guy here because this guy's the one that is communicating.
Yeah, and I think ultimately there will be some interaction between the two, and it will be done in a way that is beneficial to the person that they're there to help. And I leave those personal relationships to each individual. It's not my job.
No, it's not. But my job is to open the door up for them to explore those paths. I don't, you know, I'm not telling them, hey, you need to go hang out over here in this pantheon, and then when you're done, I want you to go hang out in this one. I'm not going to tell them that. I'm not going to tell them what deity they have to talk to either. I'm just opening up the door.
At some point, did you think that I was saying that?
Nope. The impression that I got from the conversation, and because I was listening to the computer and I'm getting delay, and now I'm on the radio on this line, there was something that said all of a sudden, I said, I got 2 cents. It comes down to I don't think we have to work within pantheons, but if you are further up into your studies and you understand the communications, yes, you can, because you understand their relationship. What I got from you was you shouldn't mix them, period.
I never
That's
said
what
you
I got.
Should or should not. I said what my experience has been.
See, that's why I said I had to get on the phone and call in, because the computer has got such a huge delay.
I will never presume to tell someone what they should or should not do. That's not my job.
No. It's not. It's not your job, man.
It's not. Never
no.
claimed it was. Don't want the responsibility. So.
Oh, God, no.
All right, so with all of that said, we are well after the top of the hour,
yeah,
and I have to be up at 5:30 in the morning. Okay.
Me too.
So I think it is time to start wrapping this thing up. So, Nib, thank you for calling in and joining the show.
Yeah, thanks.
It was a lot of fun.
And Robin had armor. We'll continue this talk face to face. Love you guys.
No
talk to you later.
That.
See you later.
All right. Yeah.
All right.
Talk to you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Hey, and Glacius at some point dropped out as well. So let's go ahead, and we're 21 after, so let's go ahead and wrap this.
Okay.
Do you have any final thoughts on all of this, or are we just going to stop here and say goodnight?
Well, my final thoughts are just, you know, we're always happy to answer people's questions. We're always happy to show people that not all witches have the same point of view. And you should do what, you know, feels right for you. That would be my final thought.
And I would like to express that, as you have seen tonight, we had a lively debate.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody called anybody names.
Yeah.
And it's not necessary. It
mm-hmm.
is possible to disagree.
Oh, absolutely.
To have different points of view. To have lively debate
mm-hmm.
on the merit of the topic.
Yeah.
And I want to thank Niv for calling in and engaging in that.
Mm-hmm.
And showing people that we can disagree with grace.
And maintain an attitude of respect.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
There was nothing in that debate that would be called mean-spirited or name-calling or anything. We discussed
yeah.
and debated the merits of the issue.
Mm-hmm.
And that was fun.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
That was fun. I enjoyed that. So don't ever be afraid to call in and disagree, because we'll discuss it on the merits and we may end up leaving agreeing to disagree. But it is through lively debate that we grow and learn.
Mm-hmm.
So I enjoyed that. So anyway, I will share that as final thought. If you want to get in touch with either Robin or I or both of us, the easiest way to do that is to email littlestonebridge@gmail.com.
Yep.
Or check out our Facebook page, Little Stonebridge Pathworkings, on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
Robin can be found, Robin A. McKean, on Facebook. You can check out her Spiritual Wellness Physical Health Facebook page as well for her show on Monday night. You can find me on Facebook. Look for Terry Power in North Copley, Pennsylvania. You'll also see something in there about the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Or go to my public figure page, RevCherryPowerHP,
mm-hmm.
or follow me on Twitter at RevCherryPowerHP.
Yep.
I want to thank all of our listeners. Thanks. There were some guests in the chat room tonight. It was actually lively in the chat room. Glad everyone was with us tonight. This was a fun show.
Yep.
All of our listeners live, all of our listeners that are going to be in the archives checking this out later,
mm-hmm.
You're all a part of the family.
Absolutely.
And we look forward to hearing from you all. So
mm-hmm.
don't hesitate to send us an email if you want to disagree with something we said. Send an email.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to agree with it. If you've got questions that you would like debated on the air, by all means, send us those topics. And again, you can send them to either cern.org@gmail.com or send them directly to me and Robin at the littlestonebridge@gmail.com address. So my last thank you, I also want to thank Glacius for calling in and being part of the show.
Yep, absolutely. Thank you.
I mean, that was just a fun show.
Mm-hmm.
But most of all, I want to thank my lady, and my partner for sharing this this time with me every week, and being a part of my life and being a part of the show.
Oh, well, thank you, honey.
So I hope that everyone has a wonderful evening, and I will wish you all a week filled with love and with wonder. Good night, everyone, and blessed be.
Blessed be.
Thanks for listening to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Join us 7 nights a week for exciting programming covering a variety of expressions of faith. And remember, all manifestations of the divine are equally valid.